Chapter number 4. A person of influence listens to people. If you're going on a job interview today, what would you say is the most important skill that you would need? Is it writing to create a knockout resume? Or maybe salesmanship? After all, isn't that what you're there to do on an interview? Sell yourself? Or how about charisma? If you're charismatic, you're sure to get the job you want, right? Or let's say that instead of going out on an interview, you are going to spend your day recruiting, whether for business prospects, ministry workers, or people to play on your softball team. What kind of skill would you need as a recruiter? Discernment? An eye for talent? The ability to cast vision and get people excited? Or maybe it would be hard-nosed negotiation skills. Better yet, let's say your job today was to supply new ideas for your organization. What qualities would you need? Creativity? Intelligence? Would you need a good education? What is the number one ability you would need? No matter which one of these three tasks you were to take on today, there is one skill that you would need over all the others, more than talent, discernment, or charm. It is the one skill that all great leaders recognize as indispensable to their ability to influence others and succeed. Have you guessed what it is? It's the ability to listen. When President Lyndon B. Johnson was a junior senator from Texas, he kept a sign on his office wall that read, "You ain't learning nothing when you're doing all the talking." And Woodrow Wilson, the 28th American president, once said, "The ear of the leader must ring with the voices of the people." The ability to skillfully listen is one of the keys to gaining influence with others. It shows respect, builds relationships, increases knowledge, generates ideas, and builds loyalty. It also is a great way to help others while helping yourself. When you become a good listener, you have the ability to develop strong relationships, gather valuable information, and increase your understanding of yourself and others. As our friend Zig Ziglar says, you can get everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. When you listen to others, you put yourself in a place where you can give that help. Listening is one of the most valuable skills that you will ever develop. According to Brian Adams, author of Sales Cybernetics, during the average waking day, we spend the best part of it listening. He offers the following statistics. 9% of the day is spent writing. 16% of the day is spent reading. 30% of the day is spent speaking. 45% of the day is spent listening. In order to become a good listener, you have to want to hear. But you also need some skills to help you with that process. Here are 9 suggestions to help you become a better listener.
Number 1, look at the speaker. The whole listening process begins with giving the other person your undivided attention. As you interact with others, don't catch up on other work, shuffle papers, do the dishes, or watch television. Set aside the time to focus only on the other person. And if you don't have the time right at that moment, then schedule it as soon as you can.
Number 2, don't interrupt. Most people react badly to being interrupted. It makes them feel disrespected. And according to Robert L. Montgomery, author of Listening Made Easy, it's just as rude to step on people's ideas as it is to step on their toes. If you are in the habit of interrupting other people, examine your motives and determine to make a change. Give people the time they need to express themselves. And don't feel that one of you has to be speaking all the time. Periods of silence can be good. They give you a chance to reflect on what's been said so that you can respond appropriately.
Number 3, focus on understanding. Have you ever noticed how quickly most people forget the things they hear? We're told that studies at institutions such as Michigan State, Ohio State, Florida State, and the University of Minnesota indicate that most people can recall only 50% of what they hear immediately after hearing it. And as time passes, their ability to remember continues to drop. By the next day, their retention is usually down to about 25%. One of the ways to combat that tendency is to make your goal understanding rather than just remembering facts. Herb Cohen says, "Effective listening requires more than hearing the words transmitted. It demands that you find meaning and understanding in what is being said. After all, meanings are not in the words, but in people." Put yourself in the other person's place and your ability to understand will increase. And the greater your ability to understand, the better listener you'll become.
Number four, determine the need at the moment. One of the greatest keys to becoming an effective listener is the ability to discern the other person's need at the moment. People talk for so many different reasons: to receive comfort, to vent, to persuade, to inform, to be understood, or to relieve nervousness. Often people talk to you for reasons that don't match your expectations. For example, a lot of men and women find themselves in conflict because they occasionally communicate at crossed purposes. They neglect to determine the need of the other person at the moment of interaction. Men usually want to fix any problem that they discuss. Their need is resolution. Women, on the other hand, are more likely to tell about a problem they have simply to share it. Solutions are often neither requested nor desired. Anytime you can determine the current need of the people you're communicating with, you can put whatever they say into the appropriate context, and you will be better able to understand them.
Number five, check your emotions. Just about everyone carries around some emotional baggage that causes them to react to certain people or situations. Anytime that you find yourself becoming highly emotional when listening to another person, then check your emotions, especially if your reaction seems to be stronger than the situation warrants. You don't want to make some unsuspecting person the recipient of your venting. Besides, even if your reactions are not due to some event from your past, you should always allow others to finish explaining their points of view, ideas, or convictions before offering your own.
Number six, suspend your judgment. Have you ever begun listening to another person tell a story and started to respond to it before he or she was finished? Just about everyone has. But the truth is, you can't jump to conclusions and be a good listener at the same time. As you talk to others, wait to hear the whole story before you respond. If you don't, you may miss the most important thing they intend to say.
Number seven, sum up at major intervals. John H. Melchinger suggests, comment on what you hear and individualize your comments. For example, you can say, Cheryl, that's obviously very important to you. It will help keep you on track as a listener. Get beyond, that's interesting. If you train yourself to comment meaningfully, the speaker will know that you're listening and may offer further information. One of the best techniques for active listening is to sum up what the other person says at major intervals. As the speaker finishes one subject, paraphrase his or her main points or ideas before going on to the next one and verify that you've gotten the right message. It reassures that person and helps you to stay focused on what he or she is trying to communicate.
Number eight, ask questions for clarity. Have you ever noticed that top reporters are excellent listeners? Take someone like Barbara Walters, for example. She practices great listening skills. She looks at the speaker, focuses on understanding, suspends judgment, and sums up what the person has to say. People trust her and seem to be willing to tell her just about anything. But she also practices another skill that helps her to gather more information and increase her understanding of the person she's interviewing. She asks good questions. If you want to become an effective listener, become a good reporter, not a stick-the-microphone-in-your-face-and-bark questions-at-your kind of reporter, but someone who gently asks follow-up questions and seeks clarification. If you show people how much you care and ask in a non-threatening way, you'll be amazed by how much they'll tell you.
Finally, number nine, always make listening your priority. The last thing to remember when developing your listening skills is to make listening a priority. No matter how busy you become or how far you rise in your organization, a great example of a busy executive who made time for listening is the late Sam Walton, founder of Walmart and one of the richest men in America. He believed in listening to what people had to say, especially his employees. He once flew his plane to Mount Pleasant, Texas, landed, and gave instructions to his co-pilot to meet him about 100 miles down the road. He then rode in a Walmart truck the rest of the way just so that he could chat with the driver. We should all give listening that kind of priority.
The ability to listen is something many people take for granted today. Most people consider listening to be easy, and they see themselves as pretty good listeners. But while it's true that most people are able to hear, fewer are capable of really listening. In our careers, we have done a lot of speaking. Between the two of us, we speak to several hundred thousand people every year. And Jim's wife, Nancy, does a lot of speaking, too. And believe me, she's a great talker. But she's also a wonderful listener. And sometimes, when she speaks, she talks about communication and the importance of listening. Not long ago, she did a talk about listening, which emphasized giving other people the benefit of doubt and trying to see things from their point of view. In the audience that day was a man named Rodney. Though he was happily married and had a young son, he had been previously married and had two daughters with his first wife, and he was having a lot of problems with her. She was constantly calling him and asking for more money for herself and the two girls. They argued continually, and she was driving him nuts, so much that he had already hired an attorney and was preparing to sue her. But when Rodney heard Nancy speak about listening that day, he realized how insensitive he had been to his ex-wife, Charlotte. A couple of days later, he called her and asked if they could meet. She was, of course, suspicious of Rodney, and even asked her attorney to call him to find out what he was up to. But eventually, Rodney convinced them that he just wanted to talk, and finally Charlotte agreed to see him. They met at a coffee shop, and Rodney said, "Charlotte, I want to listen to you. Tell me what your life is like. I do care about you and the kids." "I didn't think you cared about the girls at all," she said, and she began to cry. "I do," he said. "I'm sorry. I've only been thinking of myself, and I haven't been thinking of you. Please forgive me." "Why are you doing this?" she asked. "Because I want to make things right," he answered. "I've been angry for so long that I couldn't see straight. Now tell me how things are going for you and the girls." For a while, all Charlotte could do was sob. But then she started telling him about her struggles as a single parent, and how she was doing her best to bring up the girls, but that it didn't seem like enough. They talked for hours, and as they did, the beginning of a new foundation of mutual respect began to form. In time, they believe that they will be able to become friends again. Rodney is probably not alone. You may also have people in your life that you would like to make some changes with. Who haven't you been listening to lately? And what are you going to do about it? It's never too late to become a good listener. It can change your life and the lives of the people in your life.